Raleigh, North Carolina. It's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey everybody, and welcome to The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Boone, looking for a pin.
And welcome to the show. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing fantastic. This show Lost, I just watched the pilot. It's amazing. It is amazing. I can't wait to see how it ends.
Yes, we are back. The Lost Podcast is back after, a three-year hiatus?
And we said we'd never do it again. We said, I'm done. I'm not doing it again.
Did we say that? I never said that.
I might have said
it. You might have said it.
I might have said it.
So we're good.
But you know, every year we go to Comic Con, and everybody just wants to. We go to our panel, and it's just lost. The panel could be 10 hours long.
It could be, and I think it just goes to show. After all this time, we have been podcasting for 9 years total.
Nine years.
We started in 2005 with the Lost Podcast, and
I was 26 years old when it started.
I was 20 when it started. Yeah, literally, not 26 like your fake 26. but we've done a Lost panel now at Comic-Con for the past 7 years. I mean, every year there's discussion about the show, and it just proves the point that Lost still lives on. And I think for us, this was a perfect time to come back with the 10th anniversary of the show today. Even though recording this yesterday, the 21st. But today, September 22nd,
yes,
is the 10th anniversary of the premiere of Lost, and 10th anniversary of when the plane crashed on the show, because they picked September 22nd, 2004 as the day the plane crashed.
They did.
But this is the Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. We're doing a 10th anniversary retrospective, so it's going to be an entire season of the Lost Podcast, and we're going to be looking back on episodes and seasons and talking about them. Today will be our first of a episode kind of recap. In retrospective, look at those episodes. We're going to be focusing on the pilot today, as well as we're going to be doing podcasts with a lot of our podcasting friends. I haven't quite asked all of them yet, but I'm sure they'll join us for a lot of fun looking back on Lost and having some fun with that, as well as cast and crew interviews interspersed throughout all of this as well. So it should be a lot of fun. Are you excited, Jack?
I am so excited. I just can't hide it.
So today we're going to be focusing...
I know.
On the two pilot episodes. After this, we will be doing our first podcasting with another podcaster episode. TBD, putting feelers out there right now, who we're going to do it with.
I'm trying to figure out who that was. I mean, who is that?
I'm also a little bit sick, so I apologize.
I'm glad we're doing this remotely. I can't get sick through the wires, right?
No, there's no way. I don't think so. You could get a computer virus, maybe.
You're not like contagious or anything, are you?
I probably am. I don't know.
But I'm good over here.
And then next on Lost, we'll have segment
TV show
on today. It's with some of your favorite segments. We're gonna have the Lost recap today, looking back on the pilot of season one of Lost, and then we're gonna have next on Lost, looking at what we're gonna be talking about next as far as episodes go. We're gonna have listener feedback, what you guys had to say about the pilot. Looking back on it 10 years later. And Action Jackson will close out the show with Jack's crackpot theory of the week, ones that can't be disproven, right? Because the show's over.
This was your idea. Yeah, you said come up with a crackpot theory that you just can't be...
Well, it's not so much that I think you could come up with one that can't be disproven, but at this point, the show's over, right? So there's no way to disprove it, correct?
Well, I have to remember if it was one of the answers that was explained, you know, a lot of the answers weren't, you know, that was a complaint of some that they didn't get all the answers. So I have to remember which ones weren't answered so I can go, because I know it's going to happen. I'll skip one. I'll go, wait, that was answered on the season six, episode eight. What were you thinking? You're an idiot.
So that's why you gotta be able to do your research. You got to be able to do your research.
I was told there'd be no math.
You can't slack on this one, Jack Slackfelter.
Well, you know, it's not like we did the original series.
Yeah.
We did our podcast. That was our podcast. That was our meat and potatoes. Remember
that?
And then we did the rewatch.
Yep.
And I came up with a crackpot theory. I think we did start out with two episodes and we expanded to four episodes. So now I got to come up with a third round of crackpot theories.
Hey, listen, if you're going to call yourself the best, you got to be able to be the best. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, Oh, well, we'll see.
Seems like you're waffling a little bit here.
A good politician always waffles.
Or flip-flops.
Flip-flops. One of the two. Waffle flip-flop.
Anything you want to say before we get into our recap today, looking back on the pilot 10 years later?
I'm ready to go.
Okay. All right.
I'm ready to rock and roll. It was fun watching the pilot again because I have not watched the pilot since we did our rewatch. Is it 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
3 years ago. 3 years ago.
3 years ago, whatever it was. I have not, and I was like, it was like watching it all over again. Well, I saw it yesterday.
Well, good for you. I saw your Instagram of it, which is very good.
Was it nice?
All right. So, Jack, you ready to get into Lost Recap?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. All right, it's Lost Recap time, and this is going to be a little bit different than our previous recaps. We're not going to recap everything verbatim. We're going to look back on these episodes and kind of bring out the highlights for you. And then in the middle, we're going to be looking at the top five pivotal moments from these episodes for the show overall and talk about those pivotal moments. And then we're going to close out the Lost Recap with, I want some friggin' answers! We're going to pose some of the questions brought up in these episodes and see if these have been answered yet, maybe kind of answered or just not answered at all. You know, one of the major complaints of the show, like Jack said, is that the show never answered the questions that it brought up. And maybe over the course of this season of the Lost Podcast, we'll see if they answer
more
questions.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that that was a complaint of some.
I mean, it was a complaint of many, let's be honest.
All right, many.
All right, so starting out this episode, we have a creepin' Vincent looking at old Jack Shepard opening up his eye.
Yeah, nice dog. You know, someone's wounded. He goes, "Eh, we'll run away."
And then we go to this, you know, grandiose scene of this crashed airplane and everything's going crazy. And Jack right away saves the day, unlike some other Jacks I know.
Well, that happens. But, you know, I wrote down two things. I said, without even a word being spoken, I'm already drawn into the scene. I'm already drawn. Wow, what's going on here? Because there's about a minute and a half of nothing. Just Jack looking around. He sees Vincent. Vincent, he gets up. He runs out to the beach, the opening. And then you see what's going on. And then he jumps into action. And I always find it funny. Jack naturally becomes he jumps in and takes the role of the leader right away.
Yeah.
Without even having to think about it, he becomes the leader.
Yep, absolutely. You
know, of course, he's a doctor, and that's what a doctor is supposed to do. You know, and when there's a emergency situation like that, but without even thinking, he becomes the leader.
And really, in those first moments, the major hallmarks of the show are presented. Right, you have mystery. They focus on the shoe that he sees as he's running by. Like, ooh, what's this?
Right. You have the shoe.
And then, you have action and you have drama and you have comedy. You have Boone and Hurley both having, you know, their own a bit of humor moments out of everything. So
you also have Locke, who's using he shows that he is a smart guy when he tells, I think it was a Gary Troop was a guy that gets stuck in the engine, that he, hey, get away from there. He's aware, you know, Locke was we could criticize Locke for his many faults. But he was a smart guy. He just didn't know how to use it. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So right away, the first 3 minutes into the episode,
yeah,
it set itself up perfectly.
Yeah, it did. It very well. It set itself very, very well. And I think when you look back, you can't – for a pilot, I can't think of a better pilot just in terms of bringing you in immediately, having every single piece of what the show would become in that first, you know, 3-5 minutes of the show.
Yeah, it was like I think most Lost fans will say it was an amazing pilot. I've never run into a Lost fan yet that said no, it was terrible.
And a little bit different about this episode is it started with the Lost, the
yeah.
Most will have kind of a cold opening and then they'll go to that. Which is a little bit different there. And then we go into the title sequence featuring the grandiose, and it was already in there before, but this grandiose theme by Michael Giacchino. When you look at it now, 10 years later, some of the biggest people in Hollywood right now are part of this. J.J. Abrams, a big director, probably the modern-day Steven Spielberg, if you would say. And you have Michael Giacchino scoring this, who's arguably the modern John Williams.
Well, like you said, another factor is the music.
Yeah.
Right away, the music. Well, this is, most music is like, most series, if you watch a series, the music kind of... It's annoying. Yeah. It's just like, we don't have any words going on. So we got to put something in there, filler.
Yeah.
This right away, it's like, oh my God, that music's amazing.
Yeah.
It adds to the show. It doesn't, it's not just there because we needed some music there.
Absolutely.
Kind of like a podcast that has these segue songs.
Hey, come on.
They're just put in there to kind of annoy people, but you have to have something there because it's not like using a comma. There you go, Grandma Cops. I helped you out there.
And we also have, Jack looking at his wound himself, and we have Kate choosing not to run.
Right.
A topic that we brought up many times.
Was that what you're talking about, the part where he asked her to sew him up?
Yeah. And she said I'd run.
I'm sorry. But Jack, he's not a sexist. He asked, have you ever sewn something?
Uh-huh.
He just didn't assume that since she's a woman, she's... knows how to sew. So right away, Jack, we know Jack's not a chauvinist.
Okay. I didn't really think about that, but okay.
Well, that's what we're watching in an 18th time.
Uh-huh.
So we can look for things like that.
So now it's, what I love about it, if we're talking about perfect pilots, we have first impressions of all these people, and they say first impressions are very important. So we have scenes between Hurley and Claire where we see Hurley's always kind of been the heart of the show, and in that scene between the two of them, you get that immediately where he asks her, how's the baby stuff going? And as he leaves, he gives her another tray of food.
And she smiles at him.
Which, again, I think hits that character perfectly. If you just had to encapsulate it in a 30-second scene, you have it right there.
And right now, there's no reason to make fun of Claire.
Because she's adorable at this point.
And her voice that later on somebody just keeps making fun of.
Mm-hmm. You have Michael and Walt. You have Saeed and Charlie.
He's already yelling for Walt. I actually laughed out loud when I go, Walt! I go, you can't help but laugh at that when you
can.
You can't because it sets up, that's what his, I think it was his only line.
You have Shannon and Boone, and they are, you quickly find out who Shannon is.
Well, she's doing her nails, and... She has a delightful personality even back then.
And if we talk about first impressions that change later on, Jin and Sun, at first Jin is very domineering and Sun is very,
People hated Jin.
Oh,
They didn't like him. I mean, it was the classic Lost that you build this person up to hate this person.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I like Jin. And
then you show Jin's more shades of the character.
Right. You find out why he's acting that way because there is friction there. You can tell that Sun's not happy being under Jin's control, but Jin feels he has to do what he has to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're introduced to the smoke monster, but at the time, we didn't know it was a smoke monster. It was just a monster out in the wilderness.
Yeah. We didn't know what it was.
Yeah. For a lot of people thought dinosaurs, it was a Jurassic Park. There's just so many different things that it could be.
Now, have they come out and said they didn't know what it was going to be? Or did they? I've never heard one way or the other.
Well, we'll talk about it a little bit more in the top five pivotal moments from these episodes.
Now, when you're watching this, do you remember when you watched it for the first time going, because my first thought when I was watching this, it was a major thing on my theories, and I was trying to think, how did they survive it? Some of these people crash without a scratch.
Yep.
I said, how did they survive falling 35,000 feet out of the air onto an island, and there's people running around saving each other? It's not like they landed in the water. That was always my problem I had with it from the start.
It was a soft, sandy beach.
Well, I guess I think we went back and listened to the old podcast, I probably brought it up a lot. Well, how did they survive? Something had to happen.
It can happen.
No, it can't.
We'll talk about that too, because that might be in, I want some friggin' answers. It might be in that section.
They answered it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we also get our first really glimpse of Locke and his creepiness with his creepy orange face.
Now, I don't know if I ever noticed this before, but Kate gives him a really dirty look.
She does.
She's looking at him like, what is going on? So that sets up, because, Kate always sided with Jack for the most part.
Yeah.
There was that one time where she said, no, I'm going with Locke.
Yeah.
But most times she gravitated towards Jack. So she's looking at Locke like she doesn't trust him or there's something going on there. And then Locke gives the creepy orange, you know, the orange slice smile where he smiles at her.
Yeah.
And she just looks at him like, dude.
So a very short amount of time into the pilot episode, we already have our first hike with Kate, who always has to go tag along. Jack, who always got to try and save
him. I'm going.
And then Charlie trying to find his heroine.
And like there, she was almost like his wife. It's like they were married, Jack and Kate, at that point.
Listen, it was Jade. Jade is fate.
Well, if you know, she goes, I'm going. But why did she insist on going? What was there that she wanted to...
Maybe, you know, because as in the pilot episode, we find out she's a convict, right? What?
Right.
Maybe she's trying to prove herself that she can be redeemed or she's redeemable.
Well, if the marshal dies, there's no reason she has to say anything.
Uh-huh.
Was she going to try and keep Jack there longer so maybe he would die?
You're saying that Kate would want to try and have Jack die?
Not Jack die, the marshal.
Oh, okay, okay.
I mean, Jack's leaving. He's, as we know, the only... I mean, Boone's running around still looking for a pin. And maybe he could stick a pin in the you know, marshal's throat and make that work. But now she just insists on going. Unless she just felt comfortable around Jack and maybe, you know...
Well, again, if we're talking about that classic love triangle, it's already set up pretty strong as you start off with Jack and Kate.
All right.
So they're going on their hike, and we have chew all, everybody.
Oh, this happens all the time. Okay, yeah. I'm driving.
But Jack's not very amused.
No. Well, I like how he gives it. No, we're still together. Oh, you are? No, we're still together. We're a band. And then Jack goes over, yeah, never heard of you. So we know Jack's not a drive shaft fan.
And closing out that first episode, Smokey Eats the Pilot. I feel like that's a band name.
Smokey Eats the Pilot. Now
we still don't know that's a smoke monster right now. It's just this mythical thing that's out there.
But why does he kill the pilot?
Well, maybe that'll be your crackpot theory of the week. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Maybe. But just the suspense and everything, and chasing him down in the jungle, just a perfect close to the episode. Because then it leaves with this very just eerie shot of the pilot just kind of strewn about in the tree. And well, it's a well-known Lost trivia fact that it was originally supposed to be Jack that was killed in that tree.
Right. It was supposed to be Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton playing it, correct.
But he said, I'm Batman. And nobody kills Batman.
No. No.
But I thought that Evangeline Lilly, she takes a lot of heat over the years for being annoying.
Uh-huh.
Or Kate. I'm not Evangeline Lilly.
Whoa, yeah. Woo, come on.
Ooh, I've been down that road before.
Sure, okay. Come on.
Kate, but her acting in this episode I thought was pretty good. I mean, really good. When she's running from the smoke monster and she's all alone and her face, there's a show and the fear. She actually, I believe she was afraid. I never really paid that much attention to it before, but I was watching again, trying to see things I didn't see. And I go, good job. So there's, I'm giving her applause.
Yay.
You don't think so?
She was good, yeah.
Okay, just wow.
I'm not hating on her or anything.
Sounds like it.
What?
Kind of sounds like it. Kind of sounds like you are.
Redonkulous.
But I do like how Charlie, was it Jack that says, are you, they're in the plane, he goes, and something happens, he goes, are you all right, Kate? Charlie's okay. Charlie, yeah, I'm good. Charlie's good.
Charlie's fine.
You know, you mentioned Hurley in the comedy, but also Charlie adds a lot of humor to the show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and she, of course, Kate's like, what are you doing in that bathroom? What were you doing in there?
Yeah.
The bathroom. And he's like, and then that's when everything gets interrupted.
Yes. And that's where, you know, if you look at some criticisms of The Leftovers when it started out, Lost, even though it dealt with some fairly heavy subjects, it was very, it had a lot of humor in it as well.
Right, and that's what I think a show has to do. You have to have some kind of comedy because it can't be serious 24/7. I mean, I guess it works, but even like Breaking Bad was funny.
Yeah,
it had funny scenes. So you even Deadwood had some funny characters, and mm-hmm. even though it was very graphic and hard hitting, it still was. You still want to laugh every now and then.
We find out Charlie is a heroin addict.
Yes, poor Charlie.
Funny one at that. That's sad. A funny heroin addict. There's no such thing, but. He does it well. Yeah. We see Jin being overbearing. Again, making himself one of the more hated characters on the show.
Button up. Was it button up this?
Yeah.
What that hurt?
as Michael was looking for Walt.
Yeah.
And Michael already can't find his son.
Well, that set up a lot of theories right off the bat that
Michael had an affair.
Michael had an affair, and that was going on for. And I think some people still believe it.
There definitely was. Even look at those scenes. There's like a certain look they're giving each other.
Right. Like,
So
anyway,
we're really introduced to Sawyer's character the first time, and he's a bit of an SOB. His favorite.
Yeah, he's not a nice guy.
He already starts off with a mean nickname for Hurley, which continues on throughout the rest of the show.
Was it Lardo? That was the first one. Yeah. I think that's his first nickname, Lardo.
Yep.
Because, Hurley's saying, hey, we're all in this together. Shut up, Lardo.
Yeah.
I mean, right off the bat. I mean, come on. That's just not nice. Now, he could have said, Locke, hey, shut up, bald-headed jerk, and nobody would care.
You're still honest about nobody cares about bald people.
It's true.
So we find out, we also kind of really interest to Saeed for the first time. He's a military communications officer, and he was in the Gulf War. What were you with? The Republican God.
And Hurley goes, I had a friend that was in the... But we forgot, it leads up before this, though. You have Sawyer and Saeed are fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Because Sawyer thinks that Saeed's the one that brought the plane down.
Yeah, because the scene I guess I forgot to bring up is that Walt finds handcuffs.
Right, and Michael goes,
and that's their, and Michael shows them, and everybody is fighting because Sawyer is accusing Saeed of being the convict.
Right.
So then we go to Kate, who's very concerned about the man with the shrapnel in his chest, to Mr. Jack Shepard.
Yes.
We then go to what some consider it might be in our pivotal moments: Locke showing Walt backgammon.
Right. One is light. One is dark. It's a theme throughout the whole show.
Jin is working on some type of sushi and gives it to Claire, and she likes it. But
he gives it to Hurley, and he's laughing. And I either it was great acting or he was really laughing, because Jorge Garcia seemed like he was really laughing at it. No way, dude. No, I'm starving, but no, I'm not eating that. And then Claire even eats it, but then kicks the baby. And so Jin's like me. Jin's like me. I don't like to feel babies in the tummy. It
is weird. Even my own son is a little weird. It was still fine, but it was a little weird.
My wife would go, here, give your... It's kicking. I go, that's great. That's great. Yeah, you're going to bond with the baby. I'll bond with the baby once it's out. And I'll be all loving stuff like, okay, I put my hand there. Oh, it's touching my hand. Maybe because I saw Alien at kind of a young age. I don't know.
It came out when you were like 18.
I was young for me. I was.
You were young 18.
I was still watching Disney movies back then. That's when Disney movies were like lower than G.
Claire's baby is alive, and he's a he. She thinks.
I think it's you're gonna be a he. Spoiler.
They say moms know. They say moms know. Colleen knew. Right away.
Your mom didn't know on the last one.
Well, yeah, that's not all of them though, I guess.
There you go.
We close out. There's some more moments. We're going to keep those for some of the pivotal moments, maybe some of the questions. But we do have a polar bear that attacks, and Sawyer kills him with a gun.
And what do we – I can remember everyone watching this went – because they even addressed it in the show. Wait, a polar bear? What's a polar bear doing on a tropical island? There's no way a polar bear could live on a tropical island.
And we find out Kate is the convict.
She is.
And that Hurley can't stand the sight of blood.
Now, she does ask the question that I think it's funny, because later on we learned that everyone on the show other than Hurley knows how to use a gun. Kate goes,
she plays it, she doesn't.
She doesn't. How do you anyone use a gun? How do you take the bullets out? And then Saeed says, and
all she that. Does now later on.
She knows.
She's just playing it.
She's playing.
And we find out that they get to the top and there's a signal already being generated from the island. It's a French woman's signal. It's a cry for help. And it's been running for 16 years, one of the numbers, in 5 months on repeat.
Now, do you think – I hate to throw out the term lazy writing because that's what you do. But Shannon comes along. Now, the way they set it up for Shannon comes along, she's just trying to show up Boone because Boone's giving her a hard time because she's just laying on the beach sunning herself and stuff like that, which most people weren't complaining about.
No.
But she – she comes along and it's valuable because she speaks French.
Yeah. Well, she's fine. It's she shows that she has value, but even then she kind of fights it.
But she's proven that for that point she's done nothing to want to help out. But I guess
she didn't want to help out then. Like Boone had to convince her, like yell at her.
I guess it's true, but it just I'm okay with it. I'm just throwing it out there for argument's sake.
Okay. So those are the episodes. Again, we've talked about it many times before, but it's a fantastic pilot. Sets up the show so well and has you hooked right away.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of those things. Again, our history people always ask us. We watched it when the DVDs came out, and I think we went 13 straight before we stopped.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
It was like, okay, one more. When I was like 5 in the morning, one more. And then you went to bed, and I couldn't sleep because I was like, what is going on? Like, I have to know. It was like, to me, the best pilot ever. Without question. I mean,
better than Pleasure Ranch?
It's up there.
For those that don't know, that's Jack's pilot he's working on.
Well, I got to change the name. I'm not happy with the name. That's all I came up with.
So let's
they
go
call
to
it Lost the Sequel.
Top 5 pivotal moments
okay.
from the first 2 episodes that make up the pilot. Number 1 is the introduction of flashbacks right away, something that becomes a hallmark of the show.
Right.
And down the road, you have flash forwards and flash sideways. So thoughts on that in terms of that being a device used in this episode and the significance on the show, maybe other shows on the whole?
Well, obviously other shows have taken that, you know, The Leftovers has done it. I mean, other shows have done it.
Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, exactly. They're probably the best since Lost at doing it, working them in there. One of the shows, Orange is the New Black, at doing it. But Lost, it's so important because what we learned, because these people crashing on the island are basically given a second chance at life. You know, they're the ones that are broken and they have issues. That's why Jacob brought them there, because we want the people that are broken taking care of the island.
Yeah, I guess having flashbacks as well, I think to your point, it makes the focus on the ultimate important set of all these characters is redemption.
Right. But you have to learn, because I beat this over the head 1,000 times, Locke on the island, he seems different than Locke off the island, but ultimately he's the same guy, because we see in this flashbacks, he's just not leader material. He has issues. He has his emotions get, he can't control his emotions.
Uh-huh.
His emotions take over, and that's what makes him a terrible leader. But the flashback, like I said, it was one of those things like, oh, I like this. And, you know, it did get kind of old towards the end. It's like, okay, I don't need another flashback about this. But then I think they corrected the problem, went a different direction. But yeah, the flashbacks, amazing.
Well, I mean,
it just added to the show.
Absolutely. A show that's about mystery and not knowing these people's past, but the pasts are very important in terms of, you know, them coming to this island to be redeemed or feeling like they can be redeemed is a very important aspect of the show. And you could even argue, you know, up to the end of the show that it's kind of the main point of it. You know, at first looking at it, it's a survival show. How do they survive crashing on an island? It's a mystery show. It's like there's some crazy stuff going on. How are they going to survive? But in the end, it's really about the redemption of these characters and these characters' journeys.
But but the characters themselves, most of them aren't looking at it, I can be redeemed, I can change my life, because most of them don't. I mean, some do, but most, like Locke, he was given a second chance at life, and it wasn't good enough for him. He still had the same issues he had off the island in his off the island life that he had on, he carried over on the island. He just couldn't, you know, hey, I'm able to walk again. You think that'd be enough, but it wasn't for Locke. He always wanted more. But like you said, it was people could, like Jack had issues. Kate, I think Kate got a second chance, and I think she took, for the most part, took advantage of it. But
yeah, I mean, and again, and I guess I probably should have prefaced this. This is a retrospective, so it's looking back on the show as a whole. So we're going to talk about the show in the entirety. So if you've never seen the show before, it's probably the best start to it. But
no, yeah, I'm sorry. We apologize.
Go back and listen to our old shows, like the rewatch and all that kind of stuff. But anywho, so flashbacks, yes. Pivotal moment, one of the most important aspects of the entire show. Pivotal moment number 2. The monster, and eventually known as the smoke monster. in terms of pivotal moments of the show on the whole, the smoke monster, and we find out later, you know, the man in black, is an integral part to the entire show. Starting out just this mystery thing that seems to kill people at random or spare them at random. But the monster, pivotal moment, what do you think?
I think it is. Obviously it is because how the show ends. But was that the original plan from the beginning? And I think once we see where Locke sees it, I think they did. Okay, this is what maybe they had a plan the whole time. But
well, I think they did. I think there's stuff that kind of made up as they went along. But I think there's a overall structure that they had.
Again, I have no problem with it being that's a complaint from some. Well, they're making up as they go along. I don't care. Did I like it? Did I enjoy it? I think if you look at the pilot, they had a game plan.
Yeah,
they had certain things, and some things were just going to be hard to explain. And I think this is definitely one that you could put up there that they had a lot of people didn't accept.
Well, here's my question for you. Now at the start, you never saw the smoke monster. I think towards the end of the season one, you saw this kind of trail of what seemed like smoke. And then
Right. Season
two, you have the showdown between Echo and the smoke monster where you really see it for the first time.
Right.
Do you think they would have been better off of never showing the monster?
I think at some point, because
people would be really upset if they never saw it?
I think they were starting to lose viewers. I think if it was just like a mini-series, you could have gotten away with it. But people are going, okay, I need to know it, because there were so many, you know, we didn't watch it, but we got into it, obviously, season two, and then that's when podcasting took off and, you know, message boards, all that stuff. That was a big thing.
Uh-huh.
What is this thing? What is it? Is it nanobots? Is it this? Is it that? People were just everyone was trying to guess what this thing was.
Yeah.
They had to show it at some point, because it went on for six seasons. And there's just no way they could have gotten away with not showing it. They had to do it.
Yeah.
Only because it's a, like I said, if it would have been an HBO show where you have, you know, 13 episodes, like 8 episodes, like True Detective was this season, you could have gotten away with not showing it. But you can't go, because people would start, you know how people are.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see it. What is it? They're not giving me any answers. And that's why people stopped watching the show. They weren't getting the answers they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they had to show it. But again, I think it's something that a lot of people will still complain about. They're not happy. Oh, that's what it was. Oh, whatever.
All right. Number three. Now, it was shown, but we didn't really get any details of it. Sawyer's letter.
Yeah.
Pivotal moment in the sense that this is kind of the driving force of Sawyer, one of the main characters, and his journey on the show. Thoughts about that?
I know in the end it was important, but I can remember watching at the time. I don't think I said anything about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, whatever. He's a jerk and I don't like him. And
either way, they're starting to shade his backstory in the pilot.
Which is perfect. It shows you they did have some kind of game plan. But I remember watching at the time going, I didn't think anything.
Yeah, whatever. Show me this monster.
Yeah. What is that thing? Why does he hate pilots? We thought because he'd crashed. I mean, I think because then it didn't. Rousseau said the smoke monster was the protector of the island or security of the
security system.
Oh, that's why he killed the pilot, because it crashed on his island.
Yeah,
that he's protecting. Who knows?
Number four. The backgammon game at the time seemed kind of just rudimentary, but as the show went on, Damon and Carlton, you know, through their podcast, referenced this scene as one of those very important scenes in the entirety of the show.
But not only that, but he tells Walt, do you want to hear a secret?
Yeah.
We're like, well, what's the secret? Because it was smart. They didn't let us hear the secret.
Yep. And again, I think that's in our I Want Some Freaking Answers segment. But yeah, just in terms of this game between two players, dark and light, and end up being a Jacob and the man in black, and their game that they played against each other end up being the entire show. Looking back on it, they probably said it's going to be a battle between good and evil, but I don't think they had that the story fleshed out, this Jacob and this man in black. I don't think they had that fleshed out like that.
No, and again, I guess we'll get to that later on, but it did turn out just to be a game that Jacob never won, so this was a game that Jacob wanted to win.
Yeah.
Again, if you're going to win a game, I bring the smarter people.
And then
that's just me.
The last of our top five pivotal moments is Rousseau's distress call. Pivotal, in my opinion, because it closes out the pilot, the two-part pilot, two episodes. And it just sets the tone that there's nobody coming for them. This isn't a normal situation. There is no rescue boats on the way. This signal's been out for 16 years and nobody's taking it down. And something's going on because something killed all of her people. We probably assumed at the time that it was this monster. We found out later it's a sickness that kind of takes hold of them. But thoughts on that in terms of the last pivotal moment from this two episodes?
We have a call on this too, but it does set up the end where Charlie goes, "Where are we, guys? Where are we?
Yeah,
and like, oh yeah, where are they?
Yeah,
you know, because at the time, and then we had a tragedy this year where a plane went down, and they can't find it. You know, they have some idea where it's at, but
yeah,
but at the time, you're thinking, okay, why can't they find this? I mean, with a set, I remember saying this over and over again. You have satellites, you have this. It has the black box. There's tracking device. And this is back in 2004.
Yeah,
they have tracking devices on there. How can they not find it? Well, we find out it can happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, a tragic event. It did happen. But having Rousseau's message, well, who is this? It's been going on for 16 years. Well, 16 years, I forget, I didn't write down the total time, but over 16 years, and this French woman distressed, and she kind of gives signal, help me, come find me, they're all dead. Well, who's dead? What's going on? It just tops off an amazing pilot. Because at the end, you're like going, I can't imagine watching this for the first time when people watched this when it first aired on ABC and you had to wait a week for the next episode to happen. You're like going, oh my God, what happened? It's just, you can't say enough good things about the pilot. People can complain about the series. They can complain about the ending. But this pilot, you don't even have to be a crazy Lost fan to say this is probably the best pilot of television I've ever watched. And absolutely. I've watched a lot of television, but it's the best one because from start to finish, music, writing, drama, like you said, mystery, it had it everything. And it made you want to watch the next episode right away. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's definitely an important thing, and it does set up a lot of the stuff that's going on. Most definitely.
Now,
which is not the best pilot of any podcast out there.
Let's get to the close of the last recap, and it's the last segment. I want some friggin' answers. So I kind of wrote down, I think so far, 11 questions.
11 questions? Episodes. Wow.
And do we have answers?
You really did your homework.
Hey, listen. See, I brought my A game. You're kind of bringing your C game right now, and hopefully be able to step it up.
Well, to be fair, my C game is your A game. I could be sitting down here laying down drinking a Fresca, and I can still be on. You know, it just some people have we don't have to work as hard.
Uh-huh.
You know, you see it all the time in sports.
Sure,
a natural athlete, you have the guy who just has to go train 24/7.
Usually people that have all the talent in the world but aren't able to do anything with it. Those are the success stories, really. All right, so let's go to number one, the first question. Why did the plane crash? Do we have an answer to this question?
Well, Jacob, right? Jacob brought the plane to the end.
It's kind of a two-part answer. Why did the plane crash? Why did it crash? Desmond didn't put in the numbers, remember?
Right, Desmond didn't push in the numbers.
And that caused this magnetic anomaly, which pulled down the plane, which can explain how these people lived, because there's this magnetic anomaly which could have brought the plane down but slowed it down or something like that.
But if you weren't on the list, you were going to die.
Exactly, and that's definitely a spiritual aspect to it. The more physical is Desmond just didn't punch in the numbers, which caused this mistake, and somehow Jacob made all these moving parts and was involved in these people's lives to lead them to being on that plane.
But also he had to get Desmond away from the hatch.
Yep.
It all had to work out because those people were only to be – because as we see over time on Lost, their lives they're crossing over. They may not, know it, but you see Saeed in one episode walking by and stuff like that. So during another scene, but it all had to work with.
So you criticize Jacob, but at least he was able to make all of that happen.
Oh yeah. I mean, he
got them all on that plane and then managed to somehow lead Desmond astray. And then Desmond forgot to punch in the numbers. Thus, the hatch and the magnetic anomaly end up dragging the plane down.
Right. So he did. He was setting the game up. You know,
setting up the pieces.
Just setting up the pieces. I didn't say he wasn't setting up the pieces.
Number two. In the end, do we think this was answered?
I believe it was answered.
There you go. Number two, Jack's tattoos.
Yeah, because we see it right off the bat.
We do when he takes off his shirt,
and because he does say five.
It does. Yeah.
Well, you know what? When I'm nervous, Kate, I count to five, and the Burl sack, and it came out like pasta.
Yeah.
Or angel hair pasta, whatever, like that. And I'm like going, well, I don't really need to know all that, Jack. I remember saying at the time, oh, he's got a five tattoo. Oh, that's probably just put on there for, we didn't realize it was a real tattoo. And was that for Party of Five?
I don't ever have his actual answer in real life, but on the show, we had what was probably one of the most controversial flashbacks.
Oh,
because it was set up like, finally finding out what Jack's tattoos mean.
Yeah. But it's their own fault because they clearly show his five tattoo. And I'm sure they said, I count to five because the five they knew it was going to cause, they knew they had a show. I'm sure they didn't know they had a show that was going to be picked apart piece by piece, frame by frame. There's no way they could have known that. There's no way. I don't think anybody, you can hope, but that time, I don't think any show had ever been picked apart quite like that before. Because you had podcasts that came into play, and then message boards and social media, networking and stuff like that, MySpace, and all that stuff.
The official answer by the fantastically talented actress Bai Ling said, "You know, you walk amongst them, but you are not one of them." And that's the tattoo that he got.
What I'm saying, did they do it on purpose? Did they purposely come up? I count to five.
If you look at it, I think it's just so many people asked about what's the difference of his tattoos, so they felt like they had to make a flashback. Or even like, crap, we're out of flashback ideas. Let's do one about his tattoos.
But I think they set it up from the beginning because he says, well, okay, I count to five. And there's a five sitting on his shoulder right there. Yeah. I remember sitting there thinking, so I think it's their own fault that they had to answer it because they did it on purpose. That's a question I'd like to go back and ask Damon. Did you guys set that up, the 5 seconds, because he had a five tattoo on there?
I think it's a coincidence. I don't think they set it up that way.
I think it was set up that way.
Okay. So Jack's tattoo answered?
Sure.
I'm not liked it, but it's answered.
I'm not rewatching that episode, by the way. I know our good friend Damon Lindelof wrote it, but sorry.
Number three.
Can't do it.
What is the monster? Did we get that answer?
Yes. Maybe not everyone's satisfaction, but we did get an answer.
Yeah, the man in black somehow became the smoke monster and able to kind of disassemble himself into being this smoke monster, whether it's like magnetic particles or I don't think it's smoke, but yes,
we got the
answer. It was a complicated answer.
You see Titus Welliver's Instagram picture?
Yes.
He's at a shoe store, and it's what's called Smoke Monster Shoes.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And he puts a picture selfie of himself. I got my own shoe. But is it real?
The
shoe?
I think so.
I'm just guessing.
All right, number four.
So, yes, it's 3 for 3. We got answers.
3 for 3 so far. Number four, 6 hours in and the radio went out and 1,000 miles off course. Do we know why the radio went out?
No.
So there's one of the answers.
I do.
Oh, okay.
But no one else does.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Number five, this one was answered within the episode, but who's the convict?
Kate. Yeah, that was answered right away.
Very
good. In the beginning, when you find out there is someone on the island, did anyone think, oh, it's going to be Kate?
No. And what's great, when you look back, when Kate and Jack meet for the first time, she's holding her wrists like she just got her handcuffs.
Exactly. Yeah, but you still wouldn't, because she's the pretty one. let's be honest. She's the pretty one. She's always trying to help. She's nice. She's running around. I'm going here. I'll help here. I got to go on this hike.
She even says, I don't know how to disassemble this gun.
But. Yeah, but you would have guessed Sawyer. You might have guessed Saeed.
Yep.
There were so many people on that island, you would have said, could have been him, could have been her, could have been...
That's Lost playing to the stereotypes, right?
Exactly, and I hate to be that person, but...
So who had the Spanish comic book, which had that old polar bear in there?
That was Hurley, right?
It was Hurley's comic book, which you find out later in the episode, or later in the season, I should say.
Right.
Again, also one of those first instances of us picking apart something. It's an actual comic book. I believe it was the Green Lantern and Flash or something like that. And in the end, those kinds of things were fun, but I don't think they proved to be that significant to the show overall.
No, it's just one of those fun things. I think they got a little overboard with it.
Yeah.
Towards the end. I know I started complaining about it, but that was fun at first because you go, oh, yeah, that one. Because every theory, everything didn't appeal to everybody, but there was something there. Especially the first couple of seasons, there was something there for everyone.
Yep. Was it answered? That question answered?
Yes, that was answered.
Number seven, what is Locke's secret that he's going to tell Walt?
No.
Well, see, now this is interesting because later on, I believe it was Walt's episode, possibly, I think, he says that Locke told him the island is special. Could this be his secret, that the island is special? That's I've always assumed that was what the secret.
I assumed he told him it's special because he wasn't able to walk when he got a.
So was that the secret, or is this one that we could guess but we'll never know?
Well, he did say that Locke told him the island was special, but I would think he would say the island's special. The next question would be, well, why is the island special? Because before I crashed down here, I couldn't walk.
Yeah.
Now I can. I would think that would have to be, unless Walt just looked at him like, you know, just gave him his Walt like he's looking at Michael.
Yeah.
You know, get away from me. You know, we'll get you another dog. Really, Dad? And walk so
smooth move.
That's not something you tell a kid who just lost his best friend.
So I think this is what maybe wasn't directly answered, but we can come up with some decent conclusions.
Some might say yes. I'm going to say no because I would think the next question would be, well, why is the island special?
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Number eight, where did the polar bear come from?
Yeah, that answered it.
What's the answer?
Came from Dharmaville.
Yeah, Dharma Initiative. Yeah. Primarily answered really in the epilogue of the show, but doing experiments, referenced multiple times. But yes, the Dharma Initiative experimenting on polar bears and bringing them to the island.
That's how we got lovely Lost Treats fish biscuits.
Yes, the fish biscuit.
We've had it our 24-hour podcast, and we had it at the L.A. finale party.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Number nine, what was Kate's favorite request? As she asked on the plane, right before it started to crash. I have a favor.
I bet you do. Because that's what he said, right?
Yep.
Was it answered?
It was in the next episode, Tabula Rasa, what the favor was to what happened to...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Did the guy get his money?
That's right. There you go. I forgot all about that. See, I still say there was something more between Kate and the marshal. He hints at it. It's a personal thing with him. And I think that they had a connection. They had a romance going on at one point. It was never answered, but it was implied. And I'm going to stick with it. I don't care what people say. In fact, that could be my crackpot theory. It can't be disproven. But
yeah, you might want to save that for the next one because that will feature Tabula Rasa in the flashback between the Marshall and Kate, all right, primarily.
Forget I said that.
What happened to the tail section of the plane?
Yeah, we find out.
Yes, we do. Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Rose. Ana Lucia.
And Bernard.
And Bernard.
And Libby.
Libby.
And so, a bunch of people that died.
Mr. Echo.
Yeah, Mr. Echo. I forgot about Mr. Echo.
So do we find out what happened to the tail section?
We find out what happens to the tail section.
There you go. All right. And last, I want some freaking answers question. Who's the French lady?
We find out.
Yes, Danielle Rousseau.
Because Saeed went the wrong way for the wire.
Hey, but he found Rousseau, which is important.
But if he would have went the other way, he could have found, you know,
your greatest crackpot theory
ever. I can never go back. It's like hitting the game-winning home run in the World Series. In fact, might as well retire.
So did we get that one answered?
We definitely got it answered.
Fantastic. All right. So we got some freaking answers, and we'll see what happens on the next set episodes if we get some freaking answers there as well. So that is it for last recap. Jack, do you like the way we broke that down?
I do. Are you going to have 11 on the next?
Well, no, I just keep writing down questions. So there's not necessarily a set amount. It's just as many questions that I find.
I like the fact that I don't know what questions you're going to ask.
Exactly. See, keeps you on your toes.
It does.
I'm gonna start
paying attention.
If you guys have any comments at home for where there are pivotal moments, if you agree or disagree, or if you agree or disagree with, I want some freaking answers, or some more thoughts looking back on the episode, give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Calling time.
It's 206-309-0311. Talk about this, and we'll talk about more. All right.
Hey, sorry. There's a 12th one.
What's the 12th one?
Oh, we see Shannon wearing a small bikini. Uh-huh. She wasn't leaving the beach area. She was staying in her same spot. Where did she find that bikini? Is it hers? Was it just laying around?
Yeah, I think she found her bag. That's how she had like her nail polish and stuff too.
I guess she did have her nail polish. So she found her bag.
Yeah.
How did she find her bag when she wasn't leaving the area?
Well, there's a lot of time that probably happened, you know, off camera.
Okay. But she found her bag.
I think she even referenced it in the episode at some point.
I feel like
she did.
Because I was wondering if she was just wearing it on the plane. I don't know. Just curious.
She was wearing it underneath her clothes.
Could be. It happens.
People do that. It happens. All right. So now it is time for Next on Lost.
The TV show.
Here we go. Next on Lost. Next on Lost. The TV show. Next on Lost. Next on Lost. But maybe it's next week. Maybe it's in a couple days. Next on Lost. Lost on Lost. All right, it's Next on Lost time. We're going to look at the episodes we're going to be covering, not next week, but the week after. Next week, I already have it confirmed, we're going to be doing a podcast with our good friend Ralph from the Darmalars, another one of our favorite Lost podcasts, and I very much assume one of your favorite Lost podcasts as well. So we're going to be discussing the show as a whole, and it should be a lot of fun. So tune in next week for our special podcast with Ralph from the Darmalars.
What our plan is to do 8 episodes, but we want to give you guys time. We don't want to do it like, all right, here's 8 episodes. You got to watch it in a week.
Exactly. So, and again, it's not a rewatch, so you don't necessarily need to watch every single one of these episodes, but we want to give you time if you do want to watch every single one of these episodes. I hope overall, and even listening to this show, you are not dependent on watching the episodes. But these are the ones that we're going to cover 2 weeks from now. And that is Tabula Rasa, which is a Kate-centric episode. And the first kind of true episode that kind of follows the format that the show will follow for a while.
Right.
With a traditional flashback and on island scenes. Then we have the fan favorite Walkabout, Locke-centric flashback.
Still your favorite?
Still my favorite. White Rabbit, Jack's first full-on flashback. House of the Rising Sun. A very dramatic episode, a sun-centric flashback episode. The Moth, Charlie's flashback episode.
Oh, I like that one.
That's a great one. Confidence Man, which is Sawyer's first flashback episode.
You know, most of these in the first season are fantastic. I mean,
then we have Solitaire, which is Saeed's. And I think that features one of your favorite scenes of him going to the cable.
Yep.
We have Raised by Another, kind of a spooky episode with Claire.
Yeah. Well, weren't all Claire's episodes kind of spooky?
Yeah, or just weird in general.
Yeah.
And we're going to close it out with All the Best Cowboys Have Daddy Issues, another Jack-centric episode.
Right. Which is also key to the series.
It is. So next week, we're going to be with Ralph from the Darmalars, and the week after that, we'll be covering these episodes, and we're going to recap. We're going to have top 5 pivotal moments from those episodes, and we're going to have I Want Some Freaking Answers. Looking at those 8 episodes and what was inside them. All right, Action Jackson, are you ready for some listener feedback?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time. We got 2 phone calls to get into. Jack, you ready for these phone calls?
Yeah, okay, let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Hi, Jay and Jack. This is Jen, a.k.a. Servo3K from the old days. I am so beyond belief excited to hear you guys coming back after however crazy amount of years it's been. You guys are always the best. I could go on about how amazing you are, but instead I'm going to talk about Lost. You were asking about the pilot, and I remember watching it when it first came out, like when it aired, watching the commercials, getting psyched for it because it was new and crazy and weird, and it was so amazing. I mean, the production of that episode, it was like a mini movie. The first couple episodes, all the deal with the crash and flash between those beginning scenes with the wreckage and all those iconic scenes that we know and love now. I rewatched it not too long ago, and it's so strange watching it now because as the seasons went on, they cut in with so many other storylines and things that, you know, you didn't see before, whether it was like those cringeworthy things like Nikki and Paolo or whatever other characters, what was going on with the others. And there's just so much other storyline that you didn't have and so much information you didn't have when you first watched it. It's crazy to watch it now, knowing what we do now. And of course, now knowing that it echoes the finale so beautifully. So those are my thoughts. I'm so excited to hear you guys back again. And I will totally be listening just as much as I did. I don't know if I'll be a message board person as hardcore, because I don't think that level of dedication and lack of social life is possible at this point anymore. But yay, happy that you guys are back. Can't wait to hear you. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Sarah calling from Houston with my thoughts and comments on the Lost pilot. Two things stand out to me on the pilot as I remember back to watching it all those years ago. I remember thinking that it didn't have any commercial breaks. It was the first time I can remember that there was a show. Maybe Alias was like this too, but I hadn't really watched Alias when I started watching Lost. That there was so much story. There was so much story given before they cut to commercial. I remember that feeling of the first commercial break and just being like, oh, that's right. This is a TV show, not a movie. It was just such a cinematic experience. It was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. And I can say without doubt, I was absolutely hooked at the very end when it stops and Dominique says, guys, where are we? It just took my breath away. That was the other thing I remember, was just the way it ended with that thud and that feeling of, okay, I'm going to watch this and I'm going to keep watching this, and this is an amazing show. And then the other thing I remember thinking back to is that after about a year of that, I remember that every time I would watch it, I just felt like I had to talk about it with someone. And I had just started hearing about podcasting, and the only podcasts I'd really listened to up to that point were things like about grammar and learning Spanish and things like that. So I looked and I found you guys had a podcast, and I remember listening to it and remember thinking, okay, this is pretty cool. And I remember being like, okay, this is a way for me to hear what other people have to say. And I don't think that the experience I had with Lost would have been as rich if it hadn't been for your podcast. And because of you guys, I got into a bunch of other podcasts for other TV shows too. But no other show has recreated the experience that I had or that I felt with Lost. So anyway, those are my thoughts and comments. Thanks, guys. Happy anniversary.
All right. Thank you for those calls.
Yeah. I think like Sarah said, it was the first time that you, well, not the first time you watch a show, because the water cooler talk, stuff like that, but it was a show you definitely wanted to talk to someone about. And I know we talked back and forth going, oh yeah, my God, what's going on? It's nonstop, drove your mom crazy until we found this, you know, thing to do, podcasting, and we could talk to other people. But like message boards and like I said, both calls, both commented how great the pilot was. And you can't say enough things, but it was, and we're not just being homers here, it was a great pilot. It was fantastic. And yeah, I can't say enough good things about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just overall, great show. And Jenny Servo 3K, old school.
Wow. I mean, it was like
Lost Podcast Forum member.
And then she said, Jay doesn't, you know, she's saying, you know, how amazing we are. And she's like, oh, I don't need to tell you, but Jay likes to hear that. Jay kind of needs that every now and then.
Oh, yes. Well, I need that.
Well, Jay will tell everyone how amazing he is. But he does like to hear it also. Me personally, I don't care.
But yes, those were very fun times when we had our message board. I think it's still up there if you ever want to check it out.
And there's every 6 months I'll just click on it and there's people still posting things on it. Not just spam. They're posting things on there every now and then. You'll see
there
a new
is?
Post. Yeah, every now and then someone will post something new on there and go,
I kind of want to check this now.
Maybe we should, because we have a Facebook page. And
well,
it's
yeah,
fun.
Our Facebook page has kind of replaced that.
But the message board, I think, is – I'll still always say the message board was better, even though people – I think Facebook is what's taken over. But it had its own different threads, whereas Facebook, you could go, wait, there was something here, and I got to go search for it. Whereas the message board was like, oh, let's go on this page, where it's theories or spoilers, or you didn't have to go, don't read this if there's a spoiler – you couldn't spoil anyone unless people were stupid enough to go on there and say it said spoiler right on there. You know, most people are like, oh, I don't want to go on there. There's spoilers. But yeah, I miss the message board days.
It's still there, though, if you want to go and check it out. There is a lot of spam on there, but there is some stuff that's posted up there. But it's lostpodcast.proboards.com.
Proboards.
Once again, it's lostpodcast.proboards.com.
.com
for the old Lost Podcast listener forum.
Yeah. And there were great theory. I mean, there was just, it was great conversation. It was.
Oh, yeah.
It's because now you wake up, you go, you click on your Twitter or your Facebook or Instagram, whatever. And back then it was like, oh, what's going on with the. Especially after an episode, you'd wake up the next day and go, okay, what is everyone talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So thank you for listening to feedback again. Now that you've kind of seen what the show, what the Lost Podcast is going to be like with these episode podcasts and the way the format's going to be, feel free to call in. Like I said, it's a chance for us to look back on these episodes and kind of see what are some of the things maybe we missed the first time, or looking back at the show overall, what are your thoughts? And then looking back on our previous podcast, we talked about pivotal moments and answers that maybe weren't or were answered in terms of the questions that were brought up on the show. So thank you again, but give a call at 206-309-0011.
Calling time.
All right. Action
you can,
Jackson.
You can also call even if you didn't like the episodes.
That's exactly. Yeah, love or hate.
We're not here to say okay, you didn't like the episode, we're not going to play your call, because even when we were doing the podcast first time, we had people call up and say, oh, this is a terrible episode.
And that's fine. And again, it's the whole point of a retrospective is to look back and judge it in its entirety and talk about it in its entirety. So if there's something you don't like, that's fine.
Yeah, we're not going to make fun of you. Well, we will. But you guys are strong enough, you can take it.
It is now time for Jack's Crackpot Theory of the Week.
God.
That cannot be disproven.
Cannot be disproven.
Or
not.
Maybe it can be. You guys can talk about that at home.
Well, that's a lot of pressure.
So are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Jack's Crackpot Theory of the Week.
Okay, we have the pilot, you know, and he's there. He's laying there. Oh, and he jumps up and it scares everybody. He's looking pretty bad. He's looking pretty beat up. Where was the co-pilot? Did they step over
dead.
Him?
Remember when they opened the door, he fell out.
That's right. He just fall out, and then he goes flying down. The pilot says we were off 1,000 miles off course, and the radio went out.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the radio didn't go out, that the pilot was working with Jacob to bring them to the island.
Oh, okay.
And I think Smokey killed him because he wasn't on the list.
Uh-huh. But he was working with Jacob.
He was working with Jacob, and he brought him to the island, and that's why the smoke mustard killed him. Smoke mustard. Well, he couldn't kill people that were
on the list.
On the list, but Echo got killed. But Echo.
Well, maybe he was taken off the list.
Might have been scratched off.
We didn't know this was like maybe it's a gentleman's agreement between the two. You know, it may not be any physical thing that kept him from doing it. But okay. It was part of the rules of their game.
Okay, so the man in black who's supposed to be the bad guy says, "Oh, you know what? All right, I'm the bad guy. I'm terrible."
He has to play within the rules, right?
If I get off this island, all hell's gonna break loose. But you know what? We got rules, and I'm gonna obey those rules.
But
that's right. I can't kill that guy because he's on your list. Because it is kind of a cop out because anyone that came to the island, he could have killed him right away.
Absolutely.
Just goes to show you, if Jacob was a caring person, he would have made put everyone on the list so they wouldn't die.
Anywho, that's your crackpot theory, and
sticking to it.
All right, guys. That's it for this week's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. Next week we're going to be with Ralph from the Darmalars for our first podcast. With a podcast brethren. It's going to be a lot of fun talking about the show and probably about other things as well. It is Ralph.
Why are you saying it like that?
Because Ralph can get off topic sometimes. You and Ralph are kind of one of the same, cut from the same cloth.
So you're saying that we have a low attention span, short attention span?
No. But it should be a lot of fun. Ralph, as you listening probably know, one of the co-hosts for the Darmalars, another one of those great Lost podcast, so it should be a lot of fun talking with him. And Ralph, and a few people don't know, also a member of our message boards, and came up with the original design for the Lost podcast logo, which was updated by the fantastic Jacob Parr for our 10th anniversary retrospective. So you're probably looking at it now. It's being put up on iTunes and all those things. Jack, you haven't seen it as of this podcast, but you'll see it very soon. I'll show it to you right after the show because it just got finished. Hot off the presses. Jacob Parr has done most of our logos for the past year or so of our podcast, which is really good. And he's done some really, really great work. Definitely check out his Etsy page, where I think he made a 10-year Still Lost t-shirt at Floating Anchor. So etsy.com/shop/floatinganchor. Kudos to him. Check it out. And thank you for making our fantastic logos that we've been using in our show. Give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Calling time.
So it's 206-309-0311. Calling time with your lost questions, comments, and or theories. Also, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JNJackGroup. Also, hey, maybe we try to resurrect the old forums at lostpodcast.probards.com. Check out all of the old posts on there. A lot of good
We had some great moderators back then.
Amazing moderators. People out there, people are like, oh, it's so great that you're back. It's been years. We've actually still been podcasting this whole time. It is part of our Plus feed. This is going to be free this entire time. We're not going to charge for it. We've never charged for the last podcast.
We always said we wouldn't.
And we still
and we won't.
But if you want to check out some of our other stuff that we do, the Ramblecast moves over to our Plus feed. Married Man Show is on our Plus feed. We do Jane Jack TV, where we talk about all the TV shows going on right now. We're also doing a Survivor one for this season. We're probably doing Mad Men later on in the year. You can check all of that out at janejacktv.com for only $2.99 a month. If you've been wondering where we've been for the past however much time, we've been there. So check it out at janejacktv.com for only $2.99 a month. And for the month of October, we're going to be doing a penny promotion, where if you sign up for the month of October, it only costs one penny. But unlike our previous penny promotions, it will only be for the month of October. So if you haven't listened to us yet or haven't checked it out, go and check it out. Starting October 1st, it's only going to be one penny. Because October 1st is actually our anniversary of the last podcast.
Oh, that's right.
2005, so it'll be the anniversary. So check that out. Hopefully you guys enjoyed
the show. I'm better remembering anniversaries. I apologize.
So hope you guys enjoyed the Lost podcast return and how we're doing these episodes. I think it's going to be a lot of fun looking back on the show as a whole. We're going to cover every single episode, every single season, and we'll see how it goes throughout the whole entire year. And there'll be other surprises thrown in as well. Until then, we'll see you guys next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye. I'm just looking at the logo right now.
Oh, awesome.
It's on Facebook.
Oh, they posted it on the Facebooks?
Yeah, Jacob posted it on there.
Awesome. Well, there you go. Check it out.
I like it. Nice.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.